Everybody turn your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. This morning we're going to talk about David. Now, the Bible college students, they're really studying the tabernacle, which is a really fascinating study because I am loving getting their homework where they're giving their analysis of what they're reading. And what they are getting from the Holy Spirit, what they're getting from the Holy Spirit about the tabernacle and stuff. It's really fascinating what the Lord is showing them. It's teaching me a lot. But the Ark of the Covenant, which is what we're going to talk about in this scripture today. The Ark of the Covenant is what is so precious within the tabernacle. It's in the most holy place, you know. And I believe that the angels that were on top of the ark are like real angels. Because whenever it talks about how the ark, whenever he built the ark out of that wood, you know, and then he covered it with gold, those angels reached out to one another to touch each other. I believe that was because they was alive. I believe it was like a miracle, you know, and they're looking at each other. It's like the angels, you know, were protecting this ark. But this is what we're going to talk about this morning is David and the ark. Okay. All right. So let's all pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to show us about David. And help us, Lord, to learn from David. And we worship and praise your holy name this morning, Lord. And we cherish your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. In this chapter, we have David who has been made king. Okay. David consults with representatives of the people about bringing up the ark out of its obscurity into a public place. So this is where we're standing now. Okay. Some things to look at because I'm reading you some commentary from other people, which is really cool. It said that as soon as David was seated on his throne, he had thoughts concerning the ark of God. What am I going to do with this ark? He wanted to show honor to God by showing respect to the ark, the token of his presence. As soon as he had power in his hand, he would use it for the advancement and the encouragement of religion. Okay, so here we go. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader and said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seems good to you and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said they would do so, for the thing was right in all the eyes, right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together, and Shehor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from this city. And David went up and all Israel to Bala, that is, Kerjarim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelt between the cherubims. That's what I was telling you about the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Now remember to all of you that are in the tabernacle studies about how the ark was built. Remember, it had the shit and wood with the long poles that went through the rings, and that's how they carried the ark, was like on their shoulders. It's pretty cool, huh? And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, with singing, with harps, with psalteries, with timbrels, with cymbals, and with trumpets. Isn't that amazing? So let's picture this, man. This is a king here who is bringing the Ark of the Covenant to another city, which the Ark represents God. It has the Ten Commandments. It has the rod that budded, and it has the manna. So this is a representative of carrying God from city to city, right? And in the meantime, while they're carrying this ark, David and his crew is dancing around this ark like crazy. Can you imagine what the public thought about this? Think about all the dancing with timbrels and cymbals and trumpets and harps and psalteries. And when they came into the threshing floor of Shiddon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. So it was Uzzah's reaction to catch it while it was falling, right? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. No, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. No, it was his natural reaction to reach out and help the ark because the oxen, but God had a rule. You are not allowed to touch the ark. Isn't that something? That's how much God treasured that ark and how much of his presence illuminated to all parts of that ark. And David was displeased. Because the Lord had made a breach on Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perzuzah until this day. Now, this means that David was really hurt by what God did, doesn't it? It means that David was displeased with God, sad with God. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? You know, he basically told God, you know, why would I want you in my house? You know, this was how upset he was that God killed this man that was so kind enough to reach out and stop it from falling, right? But what we're going to discover today is we're going to discover the relationship between David and God after this happened, okay? Because to all of us that are seeing devastation and destruction all around us, okay? All of us that are seeing the devastation and destruction around us may feel like this at God sometimes. God, why are you allowing this to happen? Why, you know, are all these cities being destroyed? Why is all this happening? And we may end up in our heart being displeased at God. So we're going to talk about this because God brought judgment to this man because God laid down the law before and said, don't touch it. And he did, out of the kindness of his heart, probably, to, you know, just out of reaction, you know, caught it from falling because the oxen had stumbled. But he still, you know, distressed the law. He still had to face the price of the law type of deal. So in our current day scenario, how this would roll out for us is, when we see the destruction in front of our eyes, remember the dream that I told you I had about the animals in the tree? I was in an apartment and I looked out the window and there was an animal in the tree, trapped in the tree. And then another animal was trapped in the tree. And it ended up being like three animals that were trapped in this tree. And I'm watching it from inside the apartment. And then the tree, I'm having to watch this tree beat up these animals. And the point, the moral of that dream was, these are people in the world. A lot of them will be close to us, family members, people we love, you know, that are choosing their lifestyle, feeding off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is, you know, the beast system. And we're going to see them go through some horrible things, which we have a lot of us, the ones that took the jab. We're seeing the horrible results of sickness and death. It's nothing but the fruit of that is just sickness and death. It's Lucifer, steal, kill, and destroy. But anyway, so you're watching this through your safety of your window, and you're seeing these people be destroyed. This is the same situation here, okay? So we have to be careful in our heart how we examine the judges, the judgments that are coming from God, okay? Or things that are happening based upon people's own decisions to participate with the beast system, whatever their reasoning was. I want to travel, yada, yada. Whatever their deal is, our eyes are going to see like David, who is very close to God, and he gets upset when he sees God pour out his judgment. So let's read on, and let's see what happens between David and God, okay? Now, David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David chose not to do it. He brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obededom the Gittite. Wonder how God felt about that, how he felt about that. Let's examine David and God a minute. Up until this point, did David not cheat with Bathsheba and then killed her husband? Look at what he done prior to their relationship. You see what I mean? And yet he's turned around and judging God because of God's decision to punish in his judgment. You see where I'm going with this. Okay. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obededom in his house 3 months. And look what happened to this man. And the Lord blessed the house of Obededom and all that he had. Now, did David miss a blessing here? Did he miss a blessing? Yes. Why did he miss a blessing? Because he judged God. He was mad at God. Why are you doing this? I don't like the way you brought your judgment upon my people. So I don't even want you in my house. It's like I'm separating myself from you for a while. I want somebody else to have you because I don't trust you. That's what he's telling God right here. But the family that had him was blessed beyond measure, wasn't they? So let's go to the next chapter. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and the timber of cedars with masons and carpenters to build him a house. And David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. And David took more wives, and David begot more sons and daughters. Uh-oh. So now David knows God has made him king, right? And so he got a little prideful here, I would say, because now he's got all these wives, and he's got more sons and daughters. And these are the names of his children, which he had in Jerusalem: Shemua, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon, Anabar, and Elishua, and Elbalet, Noga, Nephig, Jophia, Elishama, Beliah, and Eliphaz. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. So God still made him king in spite of David's disappointment with God, right? And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God. Now he's going to talk to God, huh? Let's see how this is going to go. Shall I go up against the Philistines? And will you deliver them into my hand? And look how the mercy of God is. And the Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So they came up to Baal-perim, and David smote them there. Then David said, okay, let me just pause here. David, before he went to war and before he went to battle, went to God. My family members just got saved yesterday. And I told them, from this point forward, when you make decisions, seek God first. Just ask him. That's all you got to do. God, do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? You may not hear an answer right then, but you're seeking him first, okay? This is a great example. David, knowing that the Philistines were coming, went to God first, okay? And the Lord said, go up, for I will deliver them. So they came there, and David smote them there. And then David said, God has broken in upon my enemies by my hand like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with a fire. Oh. That's why, because they left their gods. You do not do that to God. What a brazen thing for them people to do. To mix their gods in with our God. Oh, no. So they got burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore, David inquired again of God. Uh-oh. And God said to him, go not up after them. Turn away from them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Ah! Is God cool or what? Oh, God, it's so awesome. The way that he tells you stuff to do that the world knows not of, that it's just, he's just so awesome like this. Because the natural way to go after the Philistines is to go up the way David asked, right? But God's like, no, I have a better plan. See, this is why we need to be asking God. Because God turned around and tells him, no, look, David, shh, don't do that. I have a better way. You need to go over here by the mulberry trees. Oh, I just think that's so cool. And it shall be when you shall hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees. See, he's even giving him more strategy. Then thou shalt go out to battle, for God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. So God went before him, paved the way, didn't he? Woo! God is so good. David therefore did as God commanded, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. Okay, let's pause here. By David obeying God when he doesn't understand the pattern, when he thinks in his mind the war should be done like this, which is how he approached God, right? But God, who is the smarter one, of course, tells him, no, David, you need to go up here under the mulberry tree. You need to do it the way I tell you to do it, you know. Because David obeyed God and did it his way, I see this as a healing between David and God. That David recognized, okay, I do humble myself under you, even though I don't understand you know, your pattern, like with the judgment we just read about in the previous chapter. See, this is the whole encouragement of this morning. You know, are we going to trust God when we don't understand? We're going to have to. And the fame of David, look, this is what happened by him obeying God, went out into all lands. And the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Wow. Let's continue because I'm all into this story. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God. No way! Now David forgave God and now he's bringing the ark to his city. We see love and forgiveness happening right here. This is so cool. This is what I believe is happening in my family. I'm so happy about it. God is just really moving in all my children and in my family. So it brings a lot of joy to my heart. But anyway, this is what I see happening right here. And David, remember in the previous chapter, it looked like he told God, he said, okay, I'm going to trust you, even though I don't understand. And God made him victorious, didn't he? So now David's bringing him in the house. Now they've been healed. Now they've been restored, right? Into the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it for a tent. I got chill bumps. I can't wait to find out what's about to happen. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. Bam! All of you that are doing the tabernacle, you will know what the Levites mean. These are the children of Israel that God called apart and said, you do not get a reward. You do not get an inheritance because you have me. I am your inheritance. The Levites were called apart. They were set apart only but to take care of God's people. That's right. The Levites, that's what their job was to take care of the temple. So David is saying, okay, these people that God has chosen to take care of the temple are going to be the ones carrying the ark. Oh, David just took it up to another level, didn't he? For them has the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister to him forever. See? And David gathered all Israel together. Okay, let me just pause here. Some of the comments of the students that are writing in about their tabernacle assignment are talking about how they're learning how big the children of Israel was. I mean, like one tribe is like 600,000. Like one tribe. Can you imagine 11 different tribes at that amount of people, like 500,000 people in each tribe? Now, can you imagine all of these people marching together in the wilderness? I mean, think about how big this is. And so, hey, hold on. Wait a minute. Wait for it. I got to check in my spirit. I may be wrong. It may be 50,000, not 500,000. So let me go look at one of the Hold on just a second here. Oh, here we go. Okay, this is Darlene. I don't know if she's on here. I don't see her. But this is her assessment. Look at this. So I was looking at the dimensions of the tabernacle. It's about 150 feet, which is about a football field width, 160 feet. So 75 feet would be 25 yards on a football field. So that can give us, now remember, she went to school to be a doctor, so this is how Darlene's mind works. All right, so 75 feet would be 25 yards on a football field. So that would give us some perspective from something that we've seen. I also noticed when they packed things up and the tribes moved, the order of how things were carried out. First of all, the ark, then Issachar, Judah, and Zebulun. Then the tabernacle, followed by Reuben, Simeon, and Gad, born of Zilpah, Leah's servant. Then the Levites carried the sacred objects next. And then the six tribes in the back were the ones of Rachel. First, that's interesting, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin, and then Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. Also notice when the arrangement was at the camp, if you take the largest tribes on the side, the tribe of Judah was 74,600 people. The tribe of Dan was 62,700. Here's the correct numbers. The tribe of Simeon was 59,300, and in the back, the tribe of Ephraim was 40,500. Then you get the sign of the cross. Isn't that beautiful? What she's saying is God, the way they even carried the ark was a symbolism of the cross. Because you have one side has all these people, the left side, other side has all, in the back has the longer, but it makes the shape of a cross. I've never noticed that before. Finally, it's worth noting that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. The tribe of Judah, for which Christ came, was in the front and the east. The sun rises from the east. That is so cool. See what I mean? The revelation that these students get just blows me away. I'm like, I love it, love it, love it. Okay, so here we go. Darlene is intelligent. She is really, and she's such a given heart. She is the sweetest. She is in Georgia. She lives near Atlanta. And anytime the students in the class don't understand how to do something technical or something, while I'm teaching, she'll be off on the side, you know, trying to help them. And she's just such a helpful heart. Okay, so going back to the sermon here. All right, so let's start from the top. David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it for a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them had the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister to him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring the ark of the Lord into his place, which he had prepared for it. Aw, it's almost like the bride and the groom, isn't it? And David assembled the children of Aaron, the Levites, and the sons, and let's scroll on down through all the sons. Go to verse 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest and the Levites, for Uriel, Isaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Elio, and Amminadab, and said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Uh-oh, here we go. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel into the place that I have prepared for it. Can you imagine being chosen for that task? Wow, what that would be like. For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. For that we sought him not after the due order. Oh, that's what happened. Oh, that's terrible. Now he knows why God was mad. Now we know why God did the judgment. Because it was not the Levites carrying it. They had the, it's almost like an Ishmael and an Isaac scenario, you know. He said they didn't seek God and thus they got punished. Oh, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon. I still go back to when we're studying the tabernacle and how they built this thing. As Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David spoke to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries, harps, and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Baraki, and the sons of Mariah, their brethren, Ethan, the son of Keshua. And with them, their brethren of the second degree. What does that mean, brethren of the second degree? Probably second cousins? I don't know. Zechariah, Ben, Jehiel, and he goes through all the names. Okay, so verse 19. So the singers, Haman, Asaph, and Ethan were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. Zechariah, Aziel, Shemrimah, Jehiel, Yah, with psalteries on Elamath. And Matiah, that's my grandson's name, Mateo. And Eliphilah, Mignia, Obedam, Jael, and Isaiah with harps. Oh, I see what he's doing. Wow, that is pretty cool. So David is taking all these families and giving them orders. Who is doing what? You're doing the instruments of the music. You're doing the porters. You're doing the brass. You're doing this. You're doing that. Wow. So going down to verse 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Oh, here we go. Here comes the Ark. Here comes the Ark. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. You can't make it up that number 7, huh? Which means completion. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers, and Shemaiah, the master of the song with the singers. David also had upon them an ephod of linen. Why is this important, all you students? Why is that so important? Because in the tabernacle, in the entranceway of the tabernacle, to even get in, has fine linen. Oh, I'm about to cry. How does that revelation? To enter into the tabernacle, had to go through the robe of fine linen for us that will be martyred. That will be standing on the sea of glass, will be wrapped in fine linen. That robe, remember? That's so beautiful, Lord. That's so beautiful. Because remember, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle shows how we enter in. We enter in and we discover Jesus. And then when Jesus comes, he says, I'm going to tear down the walls. And he tore down the veil. And then the tabernacle came within. And now God is in us in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. But when our time is done, and this is where that doctrine is such a farce, it is so deceptive and evil, that covenant theology is so not true. And this is another way that proves it's not true, because when we go up and we're on that sea of glass and we're covered in this new linen, this is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this is what we have to look forward to, is that Lamb who right now is being revealed in heaven as the one that's able to open up the seals. He's the Lamb, the perfect Lamb that was slain, the identity of Jesus. So then, when we come back to the earth and the new Jerusalem comes down, we then live in God. The tabernacle comes down out of heaven and he lights the city. It's going to be so cool. I hope you can see what I'm trying to say. Because it sure is a revelation to me this morning of the beauty of that linen. Remember, we did a whole sermon on this a week or so ago about that linen. Brian, do you remember me telling you about how God, you know, last year when God was shifting me out of the news and shifting me into his word, how he told us that he was going to show us the deep dives that we used to love in research, finding out all this information, but when we find it out about the Lord, I feel it in my bones. The revelation is so amazing. I'm so thankful God crossed us over. I still love doing the news, but I only do it in emergencies because I know we need to know. But my true love is this. Showing us who the Lord is. Whew, okay. Oh, that robe of fine linen. David was clothed in this. And all the Levites. Whew. Because, see, they were carrying the presence of God. Ain't that what we do, Bride? Don't we carry his presence? Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. See, this is why people, it should be a stench in our nostrils about what Trump is doing. Hold on. When he cast that video of him being in a gold statue with all the people dancing around and stuff, and you see how they did in the Old Testament with God, and what the children of Israel did when they created that golden calf, it ought to make you want to just throw up at the smacking God's face what they're trying to do. You know, which does the Antichrist. I mean, what do they expect, you know? But when you see this, you see how serious this is. You know, the parading of God and his presence. And it came to pass, as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of a window and saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. Jealousy, anger. She despised him, didn't she? There's a lot of people watching you right now, and I know it is for me, that despise me in their heart. Can you help it? Because they see the freedom you carry. They see the joy you carry. They see the authority you carry. And then they see the blessings. I was telling my sister this weekend about the blessings that God has given me and Dennis, and I was telling her how, who was that? Somebody, I can't remember who I was telling her it was, but they used to make fun of me about how God would give us blessings all the time. And I was telling her, I was like, you see that on the porch right there? We have a beautiful sign that this lady from Florida made me and Dennis when we moved here on the farm. And it says, cotton picking good, you know, the Garden of Eden farm, because we found cotton bags here. And my parents, that's what they did when they was, you know, really poor, was they picked cotton. But it's just the way that, you know, people that are connected to me, they know me, you know, and they know Dennis, and they'll mail Dennis chocolates and, you know, the little things that he likes, you know, or they'll mail treats to the dog. But when I tell people, you know, there's some people that will get jealous because they'll see all the favor on my life, but they, a lot of them don't know the price I've had to pay to have that favor either. You know, what it takes, you know, for God to bless you is you have to surrender all. But anyway, when you walk through my house, you know, you'll see most things were given from the bride. And I have it through there, you know. But you can't help it when people despise them in their heart, you know. But it is what turned my family, you know, it made them see that the choices that people make, you know, and the difference, I mean, it's a testimony either way it goes to God's goodness, you know. Anyway, so 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before the Lord. Now, one thing y'all are going to learn through our Bible studies is the difference of these sacrifices. That's going to be very, very special. Now, today, I told you I have the dentist appointment, so we will do the Bible study tomorrow. Okay, so it'll be tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And when David had made an end of the offering, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Wonder why he would do that. You know, he's there blessing God and his presence for being in his house now. After he got mad at God before, now they've been restored. He's blessing all the people. I think that's so awesome. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread. Whoa, whoa, whoa. A good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. This is like the first communion. I've never seen this before. Let me write this scripture down. Wow. Where is this? 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. What verse is that? Verse 3. First communion. Wow. Think about it. Okay, so what is the scenario going on right here to make this the first communion? You have the ark there, the presence of God. He come in the building, in the temple. Now he is basically just like the reason that we give, that we take our communion with Jesus. Jesus says, remember me when you take this communion. Remember, the bread is my flesh. Remember, the bread is my body. The wine is my, what I did for you when I died for you. It's a remembrance. Isn't that something? And he dealt everyone to Israel. So basically, this was like a covenant. They all took of the communion to welcome God in. Let me write this in. Communion to welcome. I'll put the notes up on the website. To welcome God in. Amazing. And a remembrance of the moment. Wow. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord. and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Wow, wow, wow. Now, let's talk about that to record. Remember I told you guys I believe I'm a scribe of God. There are scribes from the beginning of time to the end of time. These are people that are actually documenting what's happening in the earth. This is what I was telling you guys. You need to do for yourself is to document your story of what Jesus did to you and your family. You need to put it in writing on this side of glory. In a natural tree, write it in a book, in a journal or something. Your story. It needs to be here. Asaph, the chief, and to Zechariah, Jael, Shemiroth, Jehaliel, and Messiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obadom, and Joel with psalteries, with harps, and Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah and all the priests before the Ark of the Covenant of God with trumpets. Then on that day, David delivered this first psalm. No way, to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Oh, this is so beautiful. This is the first psalm. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Testify. Where's my gavel? Confirmation again. God 2025. I hear a resounding theme of God saying, testify, my people, testify. Share my goodness. Tell your story. See, this is what people cannot deny is your testimony. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk you of all his wondrous works. Which, by the way, bride, I'm asking you again. If any of you out there can sing, play an instrument, or any type of worship to the Lord, please, please, please share with us. Sing a song. Give me the audio. Let me play it at church. Play a guitar, do something, you know, let's use your talents, you know, share it to the world. Glory you in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Everybody lift your hands. Woo! In the name of Jesus, I surrender all today. We are choosing to glory in your holy name. We choose to rejoice in the Lord today. In Jesus' name, amen. That's right. Seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face continually. This is so good. And to think of this as being what David is doing right in front of the ark. I just have a visual of what's going on with this right now. So powerful. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. Wow. O you seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Aw. He is the Lord our God. Woo! Lift your hands this morning. Ah! Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we just worship you this morning as we are reading your word, Lord, that is coming alive in our hearts this morning. Wow, 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 at this moment with David and your people, Lord. We are just, as we read this, Lord, I just got to say how very precious it is that Jesus came and died on the cross for us and opened this door for the veil to be torn and for us to have you like this. We're just so thankful that we are the children of Israel today too, that we have this experience and that you call us the chosen ones as well. Everybody. They will say yes to Jesus are the chosen ones. We're very grateful this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath to Isaac. And he confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto you will I give this land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, which when you were but few, even a few strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their namesake, saying, touch not mine anointing, and do the prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathens, his marvelous works among the nations. See, testify, testify, testify. Last night I was letting the dogs out. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I looked out and saw them stars. I was like, you are really testifying tonight, Lord. We've learned how he is, don't we? For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Isn't this beautiful? Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Isn't this beautiful? Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of our salvation be exalted. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. You know, when it says here, the fields rejoice, we have learned, haven't we, that every matter praises God. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The stars will glisten before the Lord. The clouds will move. The mountains will move. The grass. So, yes, everything. You know, when my family was over this weekend, we was all out on the porch. You know, we had grilled out and everything. Just such a wonderful time. But we had storms all weekend. So the dogs, it was so funny watching them react when it would thunder real loud. It's like they look up because they know there is a God, is the way I see it. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out of the presence of the Lord. There you go. There you go, see? The trees of the wood sing out of the presence of the Lord because he comes to judge the earth. See, that's another thing I believe about the beast that's wanting to kill the earth through all the chemicals and stuff they do in the sky and all the other stuff. See, they're wanting to kill all the testimony of God. You do understand this, right? This is what we have been learning in this, these prayer calls. Is the testimony of God is the earth. This is why they want to get everybody in the metaverse. They want their brain. They want them out of the earth, out of God's testimony where they see him. I told you some of my best experiences with prayer has been in the wide open with God outside because this is where he is. He is all natural, you know. And I feel closer to him being outside. But you know, the beast wants to destroy that, so it wants to create everything synthetic and fake. Cities, metaverse, put your brain up in there, make you transhuman. You know, and that's what it's doing to the earth. Why? Because the trees sing. The birds sing. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Yes, yes. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. That is our scripture of the day right there. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen and praise the Lord. Now, can you believe he did all that just because the ark arrived there in the city of David? Can you imagine all the blessing, the joy, the worship, and the declarations that he just made right there? Wow, wow, wow. So he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the Ark continually, and every day's work required it. Wow, wow, wow. And Obadiah and their brethren, 78, Obadiah also the son of Jethuah and Hosea to be porters. And Zodak the priest and his brethren the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place, which was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offering continually, morning and evening, and to do according to all that's written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. And with them, and he's telling all the assignments, Heman and Jethunun and the rest that were chosen, which were expressed by name, to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals for those who shall make a sound, and with musical instruments of God. And the sons of Jeduthun were porters. See, this is what is so sad about the Church of Christ denomination. For them to say that God does not like music is a smack in God's face. Why would they do that? You know, because this is why. I mean, God made all those instruments for a reason. Everything's meant to praise God. All right, let's continue. And all the people departed out, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. Isn't this such a good story? I hope today really encouraged you guys. And that's really all I have for you. I am going to pray, and then I'm going to open up the prayer lines for a little bit. I do have the dentist appointment, but I have a little bit. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for our time together today, Lord. Thank you that you have encouraged us about the ark. You have encouraged us, Lord, to trust in you when you do things that we don't understand, or when things happen to our loved ones and it hurts our heart, Lord, to trust in you even in that hurt, Lord. We just praise your holy name, Lord, just like David and his people did with your presence. And Lord, today we don't take it light, Lord, for you being with us this morning and teaching us, Lord, and encouraging us, Lord, to look forward to our fine linen that's coming. Thank you, Lord, that you are preparing the way. You have went before us like you did David in all those battles, Lord. You have went before us. You know what the beast has got planned. You know the battle that's ahead for us. And Lord, we know the God that we serve this morning. So we worship and praise your holy name, Lord. And thank you so much for the encouraging word. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I want to take a few minutes before we cut the recording off. And I want us to pray about all these victims out here. Lord, the storms that took place this weekend, Lord, you know the truth about all of the devastation that's happened across our country, Lord. And I just pray, God, for those families that they will look to you through this time, Lord. In their suffering, Lord, that they would seek your face and come back to you, Lord. Those that have been lost and those that are Christians, Lord, that you would use them, Lord, for your glory through this opportunity that's happening right now, Lord, to minister to people. And to help others to see their need for Jesus, their need for a Savior. And Lord, we just pray that you help all the little children, Lord. Help the families, Lord, to find warmth and shelter, Lord. And help them, Lord, to see the truth of what's happening out there, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, I want to take this moment as well to pray about my best friend whose mother died this past week. And the funeral is actually today. And Lord, I just pray that you help her today at the funeral and her family. Be with her, Lord, and lead her and guide her into all the decisions now that have to be made. Her and her brother, give them wisdom, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to meet her mother. And so I just speak peace over this situation. Thank you, Lord, that the mother was ready to meet you, Lord, and that she is much better off with you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I know I've spoken to a lot of people that have elderly parents, you know, that are in their 80s and 90s and stuff, that instead of them suffering on this side of glory, it's much better for them to go on home and be with Jesus. I mean, who would want their parents living in this terrible world we live in, you know? I mean, for my mother, I'm so happy that she's already over there. You know, she died 2 days after Trump was inaugurated, and that's in the middle of our 40-day fasting and praying that we was doing for him. And she was so happy thinking that, you know, God had given us a Christian president, was fighting for us and everything. And I'm glad she died believing that, because I would hate for her to be alive today to see otherwise. What a disappointment it is. I remember when I first found out the truth about him, how sad I was. I was 6 months distraught over this, because I had fasted for him. I had traveled across the country 18,000 miles, 6 months tour, prayed for all these people across the country, interviewed, I don't know, hundreds of people about how they feel about President Trump. And just so excited, really believing, you know, that we had a Christian president. And I still believed it all the way up until God brought me up there to show me himself, you know, back in 2018. And I, you know, was still on the train about 9 months in until God began showing me, you know, the truth of what was happening behind the scenes. And so that I could blow the lid off of it when I left and, you know, release those four books, The American Quad, you know, which was the first expose on NAR and the Noahide laws, the United Nations, when I went with Trump to the United Nations in 2019. All of that is in those first books, and ever since then, I've been exposing what's happening, and now it's all coming in. What I have told people, can I get an amen out there? For 5 years, I have not changed my message. You might have seen me go through stuff, moving, people leaving me, and all that kind of stuff. But it is what it is. I mean, even here at the end, I'm with a very few amount of people, because the rest of them have faded off into oblivion. It's sad, but it's true. But I have kept my message. I have kept the testimony of what God has given me from D.C. and to this day. And I've stuck by what I believe. The only shift that I've changed in was when I went from Trump to non-Trump. That's where I lost a lot of people that I was connected to, you know, prior to D.C. When I chose to tell people the truth about what I saw and everything, that's when they all left me. So it is what it is. But now that it's all coming in, I made the right decision to tell the truth. And so I'm paying a great price for it, but the Lord knows. All right, so let me stop the recording.